Welcome to Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, Kate, thanks for stepping in for me while I was out.
Hey, no problem. I had a couple of good co-hosts. Mackenzie and Sean stepped in as co-hosts, and you were on your special assignment. So
yeah, a little very sabbatical good. For me.
Right. Yeah, everybody needs that now and again, for sure.
Yeah. So I missed episode 200. So I listened to it. Sounded pretty good. The team did a great job. So we're all podcasters. So, you know, what should we expect? It should have been great, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So we got a good lineup of stuff for you guys today. News, best practices. We've got some blueberry information to share with you. We've got a great interview today that Mike did. I just did an interview a few minutes ago for next week's show. It's going to be great as well. Matter of fact, I think it went a little long, so we may have to go shorter in content next week, but we've got support stuff to talk about it as well. We'll start out with the news. Of course, I'm driving a Ford. Of course, people used to say found on road dead, but my Ford so far has been fantastic. Ford has a podcast, Bring Back the Bronco.
Yeah, they're doing I guess it's going to be an 8-part series. So far, all I've seen is the trailer on YouTube. So they're going to do the history of the Bronco and then the effort it took them to bring it back. And looking at the new Bronco, they did two versions of it, kind of a midsize, normal SUV type one. And then they did kind of a old school retro one. And man, it looks like a neat truck. If you're into off-roading, it's kind of competition for the Jeep.
Well, you know, people that love the Bronco love the Bronco. It's like Jeep people. Jeep people love their Jeeps. So I am sure that there is a whole class of folks out there, young, well, maybe not young, because Bronco was off the market for a number of years, but a bunch of older folks that are probably dying to get their hands on a Bronco. But I looked at the price tags on them, and you're going to pay a price to have a Bronco.
Yeah, anything nowadays is expensive. So
that's a fact. It's crazy. But good for them. So it's kind of funny. They're promoting their podcast on YouTube. That's interesting in itself.
Yeah, it's going to be available. Apparently, that's what the story I had there from the Detroit News said. It's going to be available on all the usual podcast suspects. So, you know, Apple, Google, Stitcher, so on.
Yeah. So, well, I'm a little bit disappointed. We got news that CES 2021 is canceled. Of course, I've been to CES every year since 2005. So it kind of sucks that, COVID has canceled it, but they're going to do something virtual. We'll see what happens there. But it's kind of a big hit for me, for my personal show. But I think we'll just have to, it's just like anything else that's going on these days. Maybe by midsummer next year, we'll get back to normal as far as trade shows go.
Yeah, we'll just sort of erase 2020 off the calendar, and I guess the beginning of 2021. They didn't give any specific dates. I was reading through it. It just says the beginning of January. So I'm sure we'll have a lot more information coming soon, those of us that have gone to it.
NAB was virtual this year, and I attended nothing of those virtual sessions. So I don't know what's going to happen for CES. We'll see. But there's another Cochran podcasting. Retired Chicago radio personality Steve Cochran, without an E, goes to podcasting. It's called Live from My Office. So I'm not familiar with this radio vet. Are you at all, Mike?
Yeah, he was he's a longtime Chicago radio guy, and also was an anchor on one of the local TV stations for a while. And he's gone podcasting. He retired, and then he played with a podcast for a little bit, and now he's relaunching it. And it's kind of a good thing for longtime broadcasters that miss it. So it'll be interesting to listen to a familiar voice. We get some Chicago stations up here on the cable system, and I don't know as I remember him particularly, but I do remember one of his guests. I can't remember her name right off the top of my head, but one of his first guests on the new relaunch show was a morning show host on one of the TV stations down there. So it's going to be a lot of broadcast related stuff, I'm sure.
So are you ready? Is your passport up to date, Mike?
No, I have to go do that.
Yeah, because if everything goes as planned, the podcast show will be hosted in person in London in May of 2021. They're expecting 6,000 attendees. So I'm sure if that's going on, we're going to probably want to be over there and waving the flag. So I guess we'll see. That's pretty aggressive with everything going on to think that they're going to be able to do an in-person event in May of 2021. But maybe that'll be the first live event. Of course, who knows if we'll even be able to travel by then. Time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. Not, you know, London's a great place for it because you know, Europe doesn't have a lot of the events that we have over here in the U.S. And I notice when we do events here, or when we get back to them, there's a lot of people from Europe and, you know, Australia and whatnot coming in for those. So, you know, something a little more local to them is a good thing.
It is, and we've got a huge customer base that's outside the United States and in Europe. So, you know, going to London for many folks in Europe is just a quick, you know, quick plane ride. It's kind of like you and I going down to Florida or something. It's an easy, just a couple hours or an hour and a half or something. So that's good. So they're expecting 6,000 attendees. That's massive. So we'll see what happens there. Hey, Deezer is, of course, we've got a question out to Deezer right now. A couple of our podcasts haven't gotten approved as quickly and waiting for them to get back to us. But Deezer has permanently featured Black artists and podcasters on a new Black culture channel that they've created. So that's cool that they've done that.
Yeah, you know, that's just another category or channel on their app. And, you know, it's definitely appropriate with all the stuff going on here lately.
Yep. And leading right into that, Michelle Obama's has a Spotify exclusive podcast is now live. So I haven't listened to this show. Have we heard how that is being reviewed or what the uptake has been on that?
Yeah, I haven't heard much, and her first official episode was out yesterday with her husband, Barack, and she has like a couple of trailers and an intro episode, so there's four episodes up there to listen to. I took a listen to the trailer, and it sounded decent, so we'll see how it goes for her.
The president and her are on, it's her show with the president making a debut appearance, so I am sure that is going to help boost. You know, she's got a big following in amongst herself, the former first lady. So I think what we'll see is even with Brock in the show, that if that one doesn't rise to the top of the, well, of course, they're not going to be in the Apple charts. It's a Spotify exclusive. So you have to go over there and listen to it.
Right. So, but yep, it's up and live. I'll have a link right to the profile right there on the web. And then you can probably listen to it on your device of choice.
This is kind of interesting, Mike. Here we're doing the show live, and I got an email or text message here from someone that's on Facebook that said, "Hi, sir. I'm a podcast promoter. If you give me a chance, definitely I'll make you a great podcaster. I'll promote your podcast to millions of your target audience, and you will get huge download subscribers, listen reviews, ratings." So this is ironic. We're doing this, and I'm getting a message on Messenger, Facebook Messenger.
We got to get right on that, Todd. Come on.
That's right. I'm going to, Rana, if you're watching the show right now, you're about to get blocked. So obviously Rana doesn't know who I am or who we are. Not that it matters. We're just some podcasters working at a very large podcasting hosting company. So it's funny. And they kind of relates. I'd gotten an email recently from someone else launching a new service. And I'm like, I know you scraped my email from my RSS feed, but do you realize that the five emails that you've sent me, these spam emails you've sent me, who you sent them to? And the response was, we'll remove you immediately from our mailing list. So Podcast Movement, of course, been canceled. They're going to go virtual. So anyone can submit us to speak at their virtual event, and submissions must be submitted by August 19th. So that's going on. Of course, there's a new conference launching today as kind of the trial run. PodFest is doing their 2-week run on their virtual conference. But Podcast Movement right now is asking for anyone to submit to speak And again, you have to have those submissions in by August 19th.
Yeah, and if you submitted for the live event, you need to resubmit for the virtual event.
For the virtual.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same submission, so you just copy paste. But you know, so you and I had a couple of submissions for the live event, and I'll repeat that for the virtual.
I need to go find my document that I made up for that event. For the live, that I'll just cut and paste into the virtual. I want to talk a little bit about a best practice, and this best practice is really not a practice. It's more of a what to do when it's crickets and slow going. In other words, what to do when no one is responding to your show. Growth is slow. You're getting a little bit discouraged, and that happens to all of us. You know, I've been doing a podcast now since October of 2004, fast approaching 16 years. And it gets crickets even on my show sometimes. It gets crickets on this show. So what to do when it's crickets, when the crickets are chirping and you're not getting any feedback? I always say it's time to kind of double down in the show and maybe change things up a little bit. It's a time to maybe play devil's advocate with your content. If you are typically presenting a view that's not necessarily have to be political. It could be a something advice you're giving on, and playing a little bit devil advocate with your audience and having them react to what you're saying something maybe a little controversial, maybe saying again, invoking some way for them to really think about what you've said, and don't answer the question. Let them answer the question you're asking. I think it's important, Mike, oftentimes we love to hear ourselves talk when we're doing solo shows. When we're doing this show, I'd love to hear myself talk, right?
Right, why not?
And so the question, we may ask the question as an example, just any question, and then we immediately answer it.
Yeah, that's the problem I have. I'll ask a question to my audience, and then you know I'll go about and tell them what I think about it, and then that probably shuts down most of the people that want to disagree with me, or it might make them, you know, talk more because they want to argue with me. But you know, so being controversial, you know, can do a little bit to boost feedback, I would assume.
But I think also the key there is the ability to shut up and say, okay, we'll come back to this topic the next episode after I get your responses. Now, it's a little tough, but I put it back on the audience. Let's say I do that and I don't get any responses. So I just say, hey, you guys didn't care enough to respond back. I'm going to tell you what I think. And I do a little guilt trip on them just a little bit. And really that sometimes does that invoke people to say, all right, I like this individual show. He's asking, or she is asking for feedback. I didn't give any feedback. And, you know, it's maybe I should be a little more involved. So the key really is try to build this community, get them involved in the show, make them feel they're part of the show. Doing that and making them part of your podcast, especially if you ask for topic submissions or a variety of different, if you say, hey, if you find something on the web that is related to this, please send it to me. And credit them immensely during the show. And people love to hear their names spoke in the show. Sometimes you don't have to say their last name. Say, hey, Susie submitted this. Well, thanks, Susie. She's from Oakland, California, or wherever it may be, the regular listener of the show sent this in. So get that conversation going. So what to do when crickets and slow going is really kind to, you got to push your audience a little bit. And even if it's only 100 people listening, 10% of them are super fans already. You may get a message from your mom or a significant other or something, but don't be afraid. I read my mom's email comments on my show all the time.
Right. She makes some good ones too.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to, to basically push your audience a little bit. I think it's important.
And don't just automatically give up. That's the other thing, because, you know, you keep pushing through, eventually you're going to get to some super fans that are going to spread the word for you. Yeah. And you know, don't just stop and say, you know, oh, well, this is a waste of time. Well, it's not a waste of time. And if you have 100 downloads per episode, just think of that room with 100 people in it and you got to entertain them for an hour. Well, does that seem like a small number? No.
So. And what would be is, let's say 10% of those 100 listeners are super fans. So let's say they go out and find 10 new listeners for you. They suggest it. And one of those 10, again, that 10% rule becomes another super fan. Now you've got 11 super fans, and that super fan, guess what they're going to do? They're going to promote your show for you as well. And you'll find another super fan. So it's a cumulative thing, but you got to stay on it and you got to keep pushing the audience to, hey, recommend the show. If you know a friend, family member, people that you know, someone at the office, you hear an offside conversation. That's how you really kind of, because your audience is going to build your audience. That is your number one way to gain new listeners. Because I don't listen to a lot of shows for the business. But when someone says to me personally that knows me, says, hey, Todd, you need to listen to this show. That's what I do.
Yeah, it's word of mouth is a good way. You know, I do the same thing. You know, someone, you know, that I trust and respect says, hey, check this out. And I'll go check out the show. And a lot of times I become a subscriber.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it for best practices on this episode. Mike, we have a little bit of news going on. What's happening?
Oh, nothing, nothing too huge going on in the blueberry world as far as news, but I did do a webinar here recently. Another one of the, monthly webinars we do to show people how to set up PowerPress and whatnot. And we are going to make it into a podcast channel here at Podcast Insider. We just haven't figured out or haven't spent the time to figure out what we want to do for the tech, but we'll get a feed going for that. But right now it's on YouTube and there's a link to it. So if you want to check out what we do on the live webinars there, it's right there in the show notes.
So this is a topic that we've talked about before on the show, and we've been talking about on social and other places. But if you're listening, listen more carefully right now. The RIAA, Recording Industry Recording Industry
Association of America.
Association of America has been incredibly aggressive. Matter of fact, I had 11 more takedown notices this morning for content that is copyright music. If you're putting copyright content and music in your show right now, please go in, edit those shows, remove that audio content, that copyrighted content, and get it out of your podcast. They're taking names, they're making a list, they're sending takedown notices. And the next thing to follow, and I'm being very, very serious here, are going to be letters and demands for money that is going to arrive in your inbox. So if you're playing music in your show, absolutely make sure you have your paperwork squared away, that you have rights to play that music. You've been given permission to play that music. But you are not always covered if a band gives you permission, because they'll say, yeah, you can play it. But then what if that person didn't write the song? And there's a whole bunch of rules that go along if the band is signed later. Yeah. They don't know you've been given permission in the past. So you have to have your paperwork in order on any music because what we're going to do when the RIAA or any takedown notice comes in, we are going to take the media offline. We're going to inform you that we have taken the media offline if you're hosting with us. And then you have the right to come back part of the DMCA to come back to us, says, nope, I've got a license to play that. Please put it back up, and we will. But then that invokes a whole chain of other things that you then become responsible for and defending yourself, and largely it's going to happen in court. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not giving legal advice. There's lots of podcasts online now that are from lawyers about copyrighted material. But as a service provider, we're going to take your content offline and we're going to inform you that we're doing so. We have seen more RIAA takedown notices in the past 2 weeks than we have in the past 15 years we've been in business combined.
Yeah, they're definitely getting more aggressive. And a lot of people will say, well, what about fair use? Well, fair use is what you use to defend yourself once you've been sued, not a rule. for sure. And, you know, 10 seconds of a song is too much.
That's right.
There's no rule that says you can play, you know, 10 or 15 or 30 or whatever the going rumor out there is. There, it's 0%.
2 years ago, we were involved in something that I really can't go into too much detail, but I will tell you that a podcaster had to end up coming up with a six-figure plus check to satisfy copyright violations for music in their podcast. And a lot of people are trying to sneak music into Spotify and other places right now undercover through podcasting. Well, it is not going to end well. Someone is going to be made a very big example. It's going to make national headlines, and our series of folks are going to be made examples, and they will empty your bank account and take your house and everything you own. So I'm just telling you, this is, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but don't play copyrighted music in your podcast. Boy, that was doom and gloom, wasn't it?
Well, hey, you know, it's important. You know, they don't play around when they take you to court. You know, you're going to spend a lot of money even if you win. And well, that's just not good.
The first thing they do is they just send you a letter. Say, write us a check. Here's our demand. You write us $80,000 for your 10 violations. And if you say no, then the summons comes and they say, oh, well, we'll see you in District of Columbia or District of New York or District of Los Angeles. We'll see you in some court.
Yeah, and it's not going to be near you, most likely.
It's not going to be in your locale. It's going to be where they're located, Washington, D.C., or some court that's favorable. It's like a lot of trademark was filed in a Texas court for years because that court was the people that had the trademarks or the patents that was patent friendly there. And so they'll shop a court to make sure that you have the worst amount of pain and you'll have to hire a lawyer. It's not worth it. So please be careful out there. So on more happy recommendations, podcast app recommendation article that was put up on Blueberry.
Yeah, that's our blog writers over there have recommended some apps and some information about how that all works, and it's a good article. So go check that out over at Podcast Insider. Be right below the post for this episode once we post it.
Absolutely. So one thing we are considering is adding some more contributors to the team. So if you think you've got some writing skills, drop me an email, todd@blueberry.com. We're not complete on that, but we're just thinking about adding to a bigger pool of contributors for our operation here. Hey, so Mike, let's talk about your interview.
Yeah, I did an interview yesterday with Scotty Issiri, and he does a show in the interview, he describes it as Mr. Rogers in Pee-wee's Playhouse. So it's a kids show and it's a ensemble cast. So it's all scripted and they got voice actors and all that in there. So it's a pretty professional thing. And they launched it right as this whole COVID thing was starting and homeschooling, and it's really taken off. So anyway, he tells us all about that, and of course we get into the geeky stuff like I like to do. So anyway, here's that interview. Okay, we got Scotty Issiri. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He does a educational podcast, or I don't know. Do you have a co-host?
Well, we have characters on the show. So it's usually me as the host, and then we have a whole variety of wacky characters. We have a robot vacuum cleaner vampire and a princess dinosaur and folks like that.
So. Oh, okay. So sort of the podcasting version of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or something, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
It's called The Imagine Neighborhood. And you guys are publishing here on Blueberry and using a website based on Wix, which is a unique setup from what I was asking about a pre-show. You know, I'm kind of the techie geeky guy, and the site looks nice, and it just goes to prove you can use whatever you want to podcast. There's no rules.
Yeah.
So you were telling me off mic too that you guys just started about the same time all the schools started closing down for COVID. What timing.
Indeed. Well, the show is produced by a nonprofit called Committee for Children. And Committee for Children does the most widely used social emotional learning curriculum. That's stuff like, you know, how to manage your emotion, manage your emotions and getting along with other people and learning to share all those really important skills that, that aren't reading and writing and arithmetic, that kind of thing.
All right.
And we were looking for ways to, engage parents. You know, our curriculum is in a lot of schools and teachers use it in classrooms, but really with stuff like, you know, with stuff like talking about your feelings, it's really important to have that in the home too. So we were looking for a thing we could do that, that was fun for kids and parents to do at home, and that sort of kept those same values from the curriculum going through. Now, my background I used to work in public radio, and I've done some podcasting stuff before. So we made a little pilot, and it seemed to work with some early test audiences, and we went forward. And we had the interesting timing to launch the same week that schools started closing all over the country for COVID-19.
Right. Well, yeah, it's great. You know, and you know, you're talking about being nice to each other and getting along and everything. And boy, can we use that these days. we'll not get into politics or anything, but it's just amazing to me sometimes how rude people can be without thinking. And, you know, teaching kids a little bit earlier than, you know, before it's too late to do that kind of stuff is probably pretty good. And using podcasting for that, I think that's a pretty... well, not pretty unique, but a unique use of the technology.
Yeah, I think also a lot of parents, especially now during these periods of sheltering in place or quarantining, you know, kids are getting a lot of extra screen time, whether it's through their school, they're doing distance learning, or, you know, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa just need 10 minutes to take a shower or something. So here, watch this video. And so I think a lot of parents are starting to turn to podcasts more because it doesn't have a screen. You know, it can engage a kid's imagination. It can engage their brains in a very different way than a mobile app or a video can.
Right. Yeah. A lot of kids do get a lot of screen time, and yeah, I think this coming up school year, it's iffy whether they'll be doing the in-person thing. And so they're going to get plenty of that. So yeah, some alternative where they could be out doing something and listening at the same time, or riding in the car and listening rather than watching. You know, when I was a kid. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say that, like, you know, also, you know, when you're in your same home or apartment or wherever with the same people over and over again, like getting a little extra empathy isn't necessarily a bad thing. So hopefully there's a little empathy for the grownups in the house too, as we're all starting to having to care about each other a little more and a little differently.
Right, for sure. And you know, the whole educational space, you know, it lends itself to podcasting and YouTube and, you know, just plain video and all that stuff, but I don't think there's enough of it on audio. And it's a good thing, you know, like you said, you're doing character. So is this like a scripted thing? How does that work in your production?
Yeah, it's scripted. We start with, we actually have a researcher on our team who also became a character on the show, Dr. Sherry, PhD. And she's a child development expert. She's worked with a lot of research universities around, you know, building kids' emotional intelligence and their resilience. And so we work with her to look at our curriculum and find topics that fit in well with what kids are going through. So, we have an episode coming up about, you know, whether kids go back to school in a classroom or a remote, it's going to be different than what they were expecting. So we have an episode about dealing with unexpected things and how do you take on those things that you weren't necessarily expecting to have to deal with. And in our show, we look for metaphors. So for a kid, they might be dealing with, you know, not seeing their friends for a long time because school is different. And on our show, we have created a holiday called Blurgs Day, where randomly, sometimes twice a month, sometimes twice a week, sometimes, you know, it takes a while, but a new rule comes out. Like today it's going to rain rubber chickens instead of rain, or gravity is reversed.
And I love it.
you just have to deal with it. And we have a little phrase in the show called blame it on Blurg's Day. Like, you can certainly feel your feelings and be upset when things change or are difficult, but really you just gotta blame it on Blurg's Day and try to make the best of things sometimes.
Right. I'll have to use that. enough change, you know, it seems like every week something new's coming out, you know, rules or, you know, governor comes out with a different order or, you know, something locally happens. And so, yeah, that's a perfect metaphor for that. Blurbs Day. I like that.
Yeah. It's been fun to find, you know, especially in these difficult times, as all the commercials say, you know, people are going through a lot. So trying to find ways to talk about difficult things but talking about it in a way that is kid friendly, that can be fun, that is approachable, has really been our watchword, our North Star, so to speak. We have a great episode about talking to your kids about quarantining. And in the Imagine neighborhood, instead of COVID-19, we have a pandemic of pixies. And pixies, you know, they bite your ankles and they crawl in your pockets. So if you go outside too much, you get pixies all over in your pockets, and they come in and they sneak inside and they wreck your curtains. So we talk about it. We have a character that's very disappointed that he can't go to his muscle competition. He's going to go, you know, to a muscle flexing competition. He's feeling very disappointed about that. We want to sort of use that frame to help parents and kids talk about feeling disappointed that you know, your baseball game got canceled or your summer vacation. And, you know, those are real feelings, and whether they're, you know, whether it's something very serious like COVID-19 or something a little sillier like a pixie biting your ankles, you know, the language can be the same.
Right. Well, like I said, it sounds extremely creative, and that's a good thing. And like I said, I don't think there's a lot of audio that does that kind of thing, you know, aimed more at kids than adults. You know, there's a lot of the true crime podcasts and the, you know, the scripted stuff like that, but something specifically for kids, I've not seen a lot of that, and I deal with a lot of podcasters here, so but very neat.
One of the beauties of podcasting is, because it's an audio medium, it engages your imagination in a very different way. And, you know, the kids that listen to our show, they'll send in drawings of what the characters look like, and they're all different. And we think that's awesome. We don't have an official look for, you know, Princess Donosaurus. We get whatever the kids think they look like, that's what she looks like. And I think that's something really powerful about podcasting, that it creates that theater of the mind for kids.
Oh yeah. I remember, you know, when I was a kid listening to the radio a lot, and you'd hear the DJ come on and talk, and you had a picture in your mind what they look like, and then when you actually met them or saw a picture of them, they're like, they don't look anything like they sound.
They never look like they sound.
But in this case, they don't actually exist, so, you know, who knows. Yeah. Of course, the actors playing the characters, it might be scary. You never know. But yeah, that is great. You know, you how do you guys produce this? Is it you said it's scripted? Do you all get together and in the same room, or you do it remotely, or is everybody record their part and then somebody edits it together?
Yeah, it's all done remotely. So I've never actually met in real life a lot of the people that work on the show. We have a small team of very talented people that, so I mentioned Dr. Sherry, who's our sort of research mind, our executive producer, Mia Doses, and our story editor, Michal Richardson. And we get together and take those topics and come up with scripts for them. And then those get sent off to the actors. We record them. The actors send us the audio files. We stitch them together, do a lot of sound design and music and all that kind of stuff. And then put the show out. So it's all done very, you know, Zoom has been our friend in terms of, you know, being able to see one another as we're performing and creating the show. But it really has been something where we don't have the luxury of all being together. So we have to kind of make do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the animated shows, I don't know if you're familiar, there's a comedian sitcom called Corner Gas.
And I don't know that one.
Yeah, that was it was kind of the Seinfeld of Canada. And they had a live action show for 6 seasons, and then they, you know, that went off the air. And then about 2 years ago, they started producing the show as an animated. And, you know, when all this stuff happened, they were in the midst of recording season three, and they just kept going. You know, they've got actors in Vancouver and Alberta and, you know, Saskatchewan and, you know, all over the place. And they've been recording them, you know, everybody's recording locally. And then they stitch it all together. And, you know, I haven't seen any of that yet because it hasn't come out. But I hear it. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And that's a TV show, you know, but animated. But, yeah, kind of the same idea. And, the nice thing about podcasting over broadcasting is you don't all have to be on at the same time. You don't have to be in the same room. You can really massage the product, you know, like we don't edit this heavily. You know, we have Kate over at Blueberry Pro that takes care of the editing and makes us sound smart. That's what I always say. But
You know, I'll ask her to cut out all my the stuttering and umming and ahhing I'm doing. And thank you for making me sound smarter, Kate.
Yeah, well, who knows what she'll do with it? But very good. You know, like
so
I said,
I'm so of me saying I am not smart, or
exactly. And you know, that's a choice that a lot of podcasters make is, you know, how much editing do you want to do? You know,
sure.
My co-host Todd's very much, you know, hit record, you know, cut the ends off and send it, you know, and there's something to be said for that as well. And, you know, there's also, you know, high productions and somewhere in between, you know, and that's great. You know, me being the techie geeky guy, did you guys have to send microphones to everybody, or did everybody have, you know, sufficient equipment? You know, what kind of equipment?
For the most part, they had sufficient equipment. A lot of our actors are professional voiceover people, so they have their own setup that they use. I use a Yeti, a blue Yeti mic, and we do editing in Audition, Adobe Audition. There's been a couple, you know, like our Dr. Sherry, she records on her phone. She doesn't have gear, and so the audio quality is very different, and we have. The excuse we make for that on the show is that she lives in a spaceship. So she is, you know, video calling in, and that's why she sounds a little different than.
Oh, that's interesting. That's cool. Yeah. You know, you can make a really good recording on a phone, you know, it's just, you know, it's all that's about true. Environment, you know, and same thing with the Blue Yeti, you know, the standard advice is the Blue Yeti's not for beginners because you really got to know how to use it. And I mean, you sound great. So.
Thanks.
You know, I haven't listened to your show, but I am going to. I have to check it out. And well, you know, I'm sure it sounds great. But yeah, interesting. I like that with the phone, you know, somebody phoning it in from a spaceship.
Yeah. That's good. It's interesting about audio that, like, there's some small investments that I think people can make that up their quality exponentially, right? Like the difference between, you know, sitting a phone on the table and having a conversation versus having two microphones. Like, you know, a decent microphone is not super expensive, and it really, like, I think it makes a big difference in how listenable your show is and how, you know, the relationship that someone's going to have with your show is kind of intimate, right? You're in their ears. And so the little steps you can make that help that quality, I think, are really important.
Oh, certainly. You know, just some sound deadening. You know, of course, I'm famously in my swampy basement here with a sump pump running every so often. And, you know, I am remedying that. But, you know, I've got some sound deadening behind me and all that. And, you know, I definitely have some quality microphones, but you don't need all that equipment to make it sound decent. And that's the, you know, that's kind of the lesson I like to tell people is, you know, you don't need to spend $500 on a microphone and, you know, another $500 on a mixing board and all that to make it sound decent. You know, as long as it's not painful to listen to. And, you know, you guys have that, you know, with the phone thing, I think that's just genius.
You know? Well, it's also amazing the quality difference between like recording in a big empty living room versus like even just like sitting in your closet where there's some clothes to absorb some of that slap, you know, like, and people, you might feel a little silly like sitting in your closet, but like it can really help your audio quality.
Certainly.
I have a little corner in my apartment that is set up with all my work stuff, and I've got a little bit of baffling in it, and you still occasionally hear, but my big interruption is always my dog. My dog sleeps under my desk all day and then occasionally hears something or something happens. And so there've been a few takes that have been interrupted by my dog.
Oh yeah.
You're barking.
I've got a couple of beagles here that go off from time to time. And
I grew up with beagles. They are such like, I miss their baying. They're
Yeah. When you're trying to record something, it's not fun, but hey, that's all right. But, oh, very good. So how has the reception been? Have you been getting, some feedback and all that?
Yeah, the reception's been amazing. We've been hearing from both parents and teachers. Teachers have discovered the show and are sending it out to the families that they have for remote learning. And a lot of the stuff we're hearing from parents is both that they love that it's an audio podcast, that like it's a new way to engage with their kids. But I think one of the most gratifying things we've heard from the grownups is that they'll listen to it as well. That it's, you know, it's designed for kids, but you know, we're grownups that make it and we want to make something that we think is fun too. So there's some, you know, inside jokes or some, you know, jokes for the grownups as well that sort of sneak in there. And it's been really gratifying to hear parents and caregivers and aunties, uncles, grandmas, grandpas saying, "Hey, this is, I like this episode and we're actually using it." We include these little like catchphrases to help remind yourself to, you know, take a slow breath, or here's a problem solving technique, and that the families are actually using those techniques and it's helping them. So that's been the most like gratifying thing to hear.
Right. So you're doing this in seasons. You were telling me prior to starting. What's the idea behind that? Are you just, taking a break from production periodically, and based on the school year maybe?
Yeah. To be very blunt, we're tap dancing a bit. This was initially supposed to be a small experiment. We were going to try and see if a podcast like this would be a valuable resource to grownups. Could we create something that that helped them communicate with their kids better? And it was supposed to be very discreet, you know, a small number of episodes and just try it out. Well, as we said, we launched right when a lot of families needed it. And so the response has been huge. We had 10 times more downloads than we were initially projecting for this little experiment. So our first season, we stretched out. We added episodes to that first season to last through the end of the school year because we heard so many teachers were using it. And then the second season, we scheduled it a little differently. It's a weekly show, but we're doing 3 weeks on, 1 week off. So we have a little extra time to write scripts, get caught up, make sure we're ahead. But that also lets us do some other experiments around more responsive episodes. So as we've been saying in our writer's room, you know, we don't know what new fresh hell 2020 will bring. So we might want to have some resources ready to make an episode to respond to things that come up as they may. So our second season launches August 17th and runs through January. And then we may do a summer season if there's, you know, if parents are taking road trips or things like that. We're trying to bake in as much of that responsiveness as possible, as much sort of time to be available to respond to what the audience needs, knowing full well, though, that it also takes us, you know, we have to write a script and we have to record it and produce it. So,
yeah. Speaking of which, how long, you know, from the time you get a concept for an episode, you know, before it's in the can, so to speak, you know, how long is that lead time for each episode?
It varies. I like to be, you know, 2-3 weeks ahead. So the episodes that we're working on now are ones that will launch 2 or 3 weeks from now. And at the same time, we've got such a great team that has been able to do stuff really quickly. So, we had an episode about COVID-19 quarantining ready in about 10 days. Like from initial concept to release of the episode. We had an episode about talking to your kids about the Black Lives Matter movement ready in about 72 hours. So we've really sort of encouraged with the team to, how do I want to say this? That we do have this audience that's counting on us a little bit, or that we can help. So sometimes there's things that come up that we really want to give a resource to the grownups to be able to discuss with their kids. And those are when we really pour some gas on. And it's not something we want to do often because it means a lot of late nights sometimes, but yeah, so we've turned around episodes in as little as 3 days. And ideally we have, you know, 2-3 weeks to produce and really think about the episode itself.
Okay. Yeah. This show, we try to get it out same day. And
oh yeah,
we don't, we spend about a day, you know, doing show prep, not, you know, not constantly, but, and then, you know, we get it out, get it edited, get it up. But, you know, ours is more topical, you know, newsy.
Sure,
and all that. And, you know, we just do it once a week, so it's not a terrible burden. But yeah, you know, some of these highly produced things like what you're doing definitely can require some time. I can't remember what production company it was, but they were saying that they do 3 month turnaround on podcast episodes. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be a little more responsive than that in a lot of cases, I would think, you know.
It's true. I mean, so I got my start working in public radio, and I was on a news desk. So you'd get stuff at midnight that was for turnaround at 8:30 the following morning. And at the same time, there were like the weekly shows like This American Life, which could spend months and months on something because they were really trying to, you know, create and craft something. So I think your show is going to depend on your needs and abilities as a producer, but also like what the audience is looking for there, you know, like a daily news show. It's what do they say? It's a rough draft of history kind of thing.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, some of the stations I worked at, it was rip and read, you know.
Yep.
And just go, you know. And, you know, certain things you got wrong and you corrected it later. And yep. The beauty of podcasts is you can correct it before it goes out.
Exactly.
So, you know, being in broadcast is a wholly different thing.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So you worked at public radio, or you were on air on the news desk. Is that what it was? Or
I was a producer. So I was on air very briefly. I did a lot of produced pieces. And then we had a weekly show that I worked on. But I was, you know, I was behind the scenes guy for the most part. I have to very consciously not talk fast. I'm a fast talker. So I didn't get on the air too much because my boss would tell me that I was unintelligible.
Well, Todd always tells me I need to have some Red Bull or something because I talk a little slow, but it's all right.
You know, it's, what is it? It's soothing.
It's the NPR style. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Welcome to NPR.
I don't have their $5,000 microphones, though, so they have that certain sound for sure. But
well, I also this is a bit of a tangent, but I was there kind of in the transition between analog to digital. So I've never actually like cut tape professionally, but was using really janky old versions of Pro Tools that like I think about now, the stuff I had to do to like get a you know, piece of tape into a digital audio workstation, and like now I just drag and drop stuff in. And,
right. You know. I worked in television when we were cutting videotape.
Oh wow!
You know, three-quarter inch cassettes, and
sure.
You know, and halfway through a spot, the head would clog up, and you'd have, you know, I was cleaning video heads while they were playing on the air. Yeah, you got to be careful with that, but
oh sure,
we got away with it. But I was more behind the scenes too.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, and by the time I left that whole business, they were pretty digital. You know, we had a whole server that was just full of video, and it was a much different experience for sure.
Yeah,
but that's
it. You know, like conducting an orchestra when you're producing. You know, it's whether it's live or it's tape. You know, like having that board in front of you and just being able to kind of, you know, you're adjusting things and mixing things. It's something very, very soothing. That's a happy place for me. It's the producing side.
Yeah. So, I guess, anything else you want to cover while we're talking here?
Well, I can do the very promo, you know, please listen to, go ahead to imagineneighborhood.org to subscribe today and tell your friends, all that kind of stuff.
But, and you're available in all the usual suspects, I'm assuming.
Anywhere podcasts are found. We're very happy to be hosted on Blueberry, though. I really enjoyed the interface there, and the stats have been really helpful as well. So, yeah, I think one of the things we end every show by asking the question, how were you kind today? And I'm wondering, Mike, if you have an answer to the question, how were you kind today?
I would have to think about that.
and to be clear, being kind to yourself also counts. So there's something.
Oh, yeah. Well, I actually had a cup of coffee this morning, which I normally don't do. So so that's a good thing.
There you go. But, that's great.
Yeah, we're working from home. You know, that's been my norm for this whole thing, and the rest of our team, it's a little bit new to them, that's. Being kind in general is a good thing, and it's hard for me to fathom some of the craziness that's going on these days, and I think it's probably always been there. It just seems more noticeable now.
Yeah. I mean, the world can be a chaotic place, and I think the more we can do to kind of take it easy on each other, the better. Which is hard to do, especially when there's a lot of fear out there right now. There's a lot of insecurity. People don't know what's going to happen next, and it can make you kind of turtle in and want to really focus on what you need and what you're doing. But we're all in this together, and
well, Scotty,
a little kind to each other and a kind to ourselves,
right? Well, Scotty, well, thanks for being on Podcast Insider. Let's throw out the shameless plug one more time. Make sure everybody can find you.
Yeah, imagineneighborhood.org is the website. You can also, you can get in touch with us there. If you have a drawing of one of our characters, you can send it to us there. And as you say, we're available on anywhere podcasts are found. And thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's good to get a different perspective. I think you're the first children's program we've had on here so far. So maybe we'll find some more, maybe not, but very good. Sounds like a great mission you guys got going there, and I'm glad Blueberry can help you out.
Thank you.
Mike, thanks for conducting that interview with Scotty, and definitely check their website out at imagineneighborhood.org. It's the Imagine Neighborhood. Again, it's a kid show. So very awesome. And I don't think he sounded like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
No, not at all.
All right. So, hey, Blueberry Podcasters, let's interview you for this show. Tell your story of podcasting right here on Podcast Insider. Email Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com, blubrry.com. I want to thank those of you that are stepping up and telling your story. We love to hear them. There's always something new that even I get. I got something out of the interview I did today for next week's show, and I think it's going to be pretty exciting. So, Mike, what's going on with support?
Well, and just on the interview thing, now's a great time to do it because our lead time's a little shorter. Yeah. So we'll get you on in the next couple of weeks if you interview with us. So anyway, and support, been a lot of people running into upload quotas, being that it's towards the end of the month. And I just wanted to explain again how that works at Blueberry. If you're hosting with us, your quota is whatever you signed up for, so 100, 250, 500, or 1,000 megabytes a month, if you're not a pro customer. And that resets on the first of every month. No matter when you pay the bill, it resets on the first of every month. Now, if you have something special going on, let us know. We can adjust that for you for something special. Don't do that every month. But basically, a lot of people also don't quite understand the, file size thing. We have an estimator in there, and we estimate that based on 128 kilobit stereo. So that's about 1 megabyte per minute of audio. If you're encoding it any higher than that, the file sizes are going to get bigger, and the amount of, minutes of audio you can put online is going to be smaller. And so just, keep an eye on what bit rate you're using, because, different bit rates offer different file sizes. And, 64 kilobits,
In mono, the quality is exactly the same as 128 in stereo, and the file sizes are half. So if you find yourself running out of space, maybe think about reducing that bitrate a little bit.
Mike, don't tell them they can go to 64K mono because that means they don't need a big of a storage plan.
Yeah, well, hey, we're nice that way. So, and really the only other thing, we're getting a lot of account-specific support requests in places that don't lend itself to that. So we've said this before, but you know, like the WordPress forum for PowerPress, Facebook, Twitter, all the other social media stuff. We love that. We love hearing from you. But if you have support questions that are specific to your account, you really need to contact us directly. It makes it a lot easier for us to answer you, you know, answer support questions in a non-public forum. You know, if it's something for the whole community or the whole, you know, list of users, then great. That's what, you know, that's what all these forums and social media and all that's about. But, you know, something specific to your account, please contact us directly.
support@blueberry.com. Yes,
exactly. And you know, that also helps, you know, because a lot of people will email you or me or Dave, sure, or whoever directly with a support question, and that may not get answered as quickly. You know, you were on sabbatical for a couple of weeks, and if they emailed you, a lot of the time it went into the black hole for a while. And yeah, same with me, you know.
Yeah, I was only checking my email like once, maybe every other day or something like that. So, but again, blueberry.com/support is the primary way. Secondary is support@blueberry.com. And that way you get in our ticket system and the rest of the team can help you. Okay. So this is going to wrap us up here for the Podcast Insider. And we want to thank you for your ongoing support. Thank you for your business. Thank you for your listenership. We definitely appreciate that. I know people are starting to put the word out on us because I keep hearing from you that you're loving what we're doing here. So that's good. So please share this with your fellow podcasters, even if they are not a host of Blueberry. And because if you are hosting with someone else, Mike and Dave and Sean are the world's foremost experts in moving anyone off of any other platform to give you control of your IP, build your brand on your .com, and really build your podcast the Blueberry way, which we know 100% allows podcasters to have longer lived podcasts just because of the investment you make in doing your show on your own .com and your own brand. So anyway, that's it. Mike or Todd at blueberry.com or Mackenzie at blueberry.com is the email address. Mike, thanks for taking care of duties while I was out.
Yeah, no problem. And thanks to Kate and her team over at blueberrypro.com.
Yeah.
They made us sound smarter than we are, and it's all good.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we should continue to make sure people know this. This show is produced by the Blueberry Pro team at blueberrypro.com. A fantastic service for those of you that just want to do your own content. I mean, you don't even have to have your own recording gear. They'll record, set up the recordings for you. It's a full-fledged service. Go check it out. And it's, you know, again, part of the full Blueberry teams of services. It's just what we do. And we love the interaction and the help that they give to podcasters that use our service over there. So thanks so much to Kate and the team. And anyway, everyone, thanks. We'll see you next time here on Podcast Insider.